If for those of you that have never seen Stab, we're a live comedy writing podcast. We have a little intro that describes kind of what the show is, and you'll kind of get it after a few seconds, maybe, or you won't. We do two episodes each night here, and each episode runs about 35 minutes, so we'll get done with the first show, and then you can get up and drink and pee or do whatever you need to do, and then please stay for the second one, because that would be unfair to you and your entertainment needs. So thank you guys for coming. All right, here we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you guys.
In a show called...
Oh my God, Stab! Welcome to Stab! Welcome to it! Thank you for coming, everyone, to Stab, the comedy podcast game show here at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento, California. Are you ready to meet your Stab testants? Your contestants of Stab? Okay, please welcome to stage first, Mr. Robert Berry. Robert Berry.
Stab.
There goes 1/16th of our crowd. He's right there. And then next, getting in the middle, you're closest to me. I want you close to me. And then Cheryl Anderson.
Stab.
And your third contestant, Mr. Jesse the Body Jones. Sorry, I don't know. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Welcome. Welcome.
Tall chair.
Are you in a chair that's too tall?
Oh no, it's no? Fine. I'm just commenting on its tallness.
Just
and how all the new people are stuck themselves in the corner, so they get this hard profile.
That's the thing.
Oh
be
yeah,
sucking this gut in hard all night.
They thought it was a Gallagher style show. It kind of is, except with pee. So we apologize. I don't know. I'm
my
sorry.
My piss melon smashing.
So
be great.
Welcome to the show. The theme is the same, and there's a coincidence that happened this week. This week we got a ton of fan mail suggesting that I be mean because I've been too nice over the last 5 years of doing this show, and so I'm gonna try that out. Robert Berry.
Hi, John.
Welcome, Rob.
It's an honor to be on this show. I've been going through some tough times, so I could use the pick-me-up.
Oh. Robert Berry, he's regionally famous for writing puns. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Robert puts the pun in punitive damages.
Glad I didn't write that one.
Seeing Robert perform live is no holiday either. Robert also puts the I want my money back in I want my money back. So thank you, Robert.
Fair. That's pretty fair. That
wasn't so bad, right?
No, I was expecting more and some funny ones, but I'll take with that. Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Robert. Robert, what do you want to plug?
I just published my book, Robert Berry's Big Book of Jokes.
That's right.
210 pages of jokes I've written through the years, and that's what I'm plugging. You can get it on my site, retrocrush.com or Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you bring any with you tonight?
I did. They're by Ben Rice over there.
All right. That's Ben Rice. Okay,
Ben
good.
Rice, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
In the middle, we have Cheryl Anderson. Do you go by the soccer mom anymore? Cheryl the soccer mom?
Oh, I answer to anything.
That's your Instagram and everything? Is
yeah.
that what?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. I don't know if you're loud enough on the mic, so I'm going to.
Okay. How's that? How's
great.
That better?
Cheryl, you recently moved back to your home state of Minnesota.
I sure did.
But I heard it's not because you wanted to, really. It's just that you hadn't been groped in a while inappropriately. By a senator or public
or a radio personality.
Really? Did they? I don't know. Well, who knows? I don't know. Was that too much? Is it too early to make those jokes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, thank you for being here.
I'm just very disappointed. They're my heroes. Those are my heroes.
Garrison Keillor was your hero?
And Al Franken, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I don't know how to comment.
Can you imagine a threesome with them? That would be pretty hot.
A threesome with them, did you say?
With Garrison and Franken.
No, I honestly can't.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll keep you warm at night. All right. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
How are you?
Not bad.
Good. Jesse Jones is here again, which makes us here at STAB the rest of the world's wingman. So, yeah, it took a second.
Yeah, I'm trying to noodle it through.
We called this segment jokes John thought was funny a couple hours ago. Well, thank you for being here, Jesse.
Sure.
Are you ready to play Stab?
Why not?
Okay, here we go.
Whoa.
Need to be louder. There we go.
All right.
Well, the second segment, which is actually our first segment, it's called This Was Today Once, Robert Barry. This Was Today Once.
Yes.
On this date, 1768, the first edition of Encyclopedia Britannica is published. Yeah, 1700s. Also on this date, 1995, Michael Jackson collapses while rehearsing for an HBO special. How did you... No laughter. Surprise. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned topics in tandem?
Oh boy, did I celebrate. It's great that those two things were put together to celebrate in one day. Encyclopedia Britannica and Michael Jackson... Yeah, a lot of people think there's not a lot in common, with those two things, but they both share a lot in common. Like, for example, the last printed, they stopped making the printed edition of Encyclopedia Britannica. It's online only now. Back in 2010, just 7 years ago, and 7 years is also the ideal age for. Michael Jackson's love interest. That's pretty good. And, there's a lot in common. Like, for example, both the Encyclopedia Britannica and the kids in Michael Jackson's sex dungeon are both leather bound. But there's some differences too. Like for example, what's the difference between the Encyclopedia Britannica and Michael Jackson?
What
you might be asking. the Encyclopedia Britannica only has one entry for children. That's how I'm celebrating.
Very good, Robert. Thank you for getting us started off on a groan.
Thank you.
Cheryl. On this date, 2002, Winona Ryder was sentenced to 36 months of probation and 480 hours of community service stemming from her conviction for shoplifting from Saks Fifth Avenue. Also on this date, 1988, Roy Orbison died. Was made dead. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Oh boy, did I. So their worlds have collided, interestingly enough, because Roy Orbison sang Blue Bayou for Stranger Things, starring Winona Ryder.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I went down to Disneyland and had lunch at the Blue Bayou restaurant, and then I walked out without paying.
Very good. That's easy. Jesse Jones.
Yeah, now I wrote way too much.
On this date, 1877, the first sound recording was made by Thomas Edison. Also on this date, 1956, a violent water polo match between Hungary and the USSR takes place during the 1956 Summer Olympics in Melbourne. How did you celebrate these combined?
Well, recorded audio and obscure violent sports history are actually two passions of mine. which I managed to combine in another podcast project I'd been working on earlier this year during Stab's extended hiatus. So my show, Track and Field and Murder, digs deep into some of the most obscure and violent sporting events of the last century. Back in March, I did an episode on the 1971 Ice Rugby World Championship quarterfinals, which featured underdog Argentina taking on heavily favored Poland. And to no one's surprise, it looked like Poland was going to walk away with it until Argentina employed an unorthodox strategy that would later be known as the fishing hole defense, which resulted in the drowning of six of Poland's starting lineup and would propel Argentina into the semis, where they went on to lose handily to Egypt. Then, of course, there was the 1964 Winter Games in Innsbruck, where lawn diving was introduced as a demonstration sport. 16 shattered spines in the opening heats led to the International Olympic Committee frantically canceling the games on the first day of competition. I made up a word that I need to get a running start on. Newly quadriplegic gold medal favorite.
Quadriplegic.
Quadriplegic.
To be made quadriplegic.
He quadriplegically.
I'm sticking with quadriplegic. Okay. Newly quadriplegic gold medal favorite, Giger Schuschenschlotz of Bulgaria, launched a formal protest, which resulted in him receiving the only medal ever awarded in the sport of lawn diving. Posthumously. And probably most famously was the 1948 Summer Olympics in London and the ill-advised sport of skeet hurdles. Skeet hurdles.
Skeet hurdles.
There were no survivors.
Very good. That was... This was Today Once. Ooh, that was louder this time. We'll fix it in post. Okay. Yeah. This next segment is called Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? In recognition of how everything seems not real these days, but actually is, today's acronym is IRL. IRL. Robert Barry, what does IRL mean to you?
Well, hello, everybody. My name's Ignatius Riley Lichtanican. My initials are IRL, and it's also the abbreviation for Ireland, my home country, the mother country. And I've got a new business I'd like to tell y'all about. It's called Irish Rug Liquors. Irish Rug Liquors. We're not really sure what's going on here. Maybe it's a lesbian dance club. Or maybe we just actually blew fine whiskeys in the rugs of Irish people. Here's what some of the people are saying about Irish Rug Liquors. Here's Tommy Jones. Begorra shillelagh. Thank you, Tommy. So come on down to Irish Rug Liquors. It's the best place to lick an Irish rug. This side of Ireland. Thank you.
Very good, Robert. IRL, Irish Rug Liquors. Cheryl.
Yes.
I forgot your name for a second.
Oh. Well, hey, Jeff.
Cheryl. Yeah. My name's Cheryl, too. What does IRL mean to you, Cheryl?
Well, this is more of a PSA than a joke, really.
Okay.
For those of you who might be confused, like if grabbing some side boob when you're giving somebody a hug or right. taking a picture is appropriate, IRL stands for It's Really Lecherous.
It's Really Lecherous.
Yeah.
Good, fellas. Write that down. And ladies. Okay. Jesse Jones, what does IRL mean to you?
I'm going to do a voice too. Robert Berry's not going to be the only one to do funny voices. We's gathered up here this afternoon to go and pay us final respects to great-grandpappy Cudgeons, who done gone and went and passed the fuck on. But Cudgeons was one righty some bitch. And if he hadn't lost that landmine map of his front yard, he'd be right here with us drinking and cussing and chasing tail instead of sitting dead in that bucket over there. Buck survived by a smoking hot 29-year-old fifth wife, Justine. Shit ton of kids, a shit a ton of grandkids, and a fuck shit ton of great grandkids. But he's also leaving behind a motherfucking IRL that ain't like to be matched by any living sumbitch any win soons. Ain't 10 of us can ever begin to touch good old Buck Cudgeon's incredibly racist legacy. Buck Cudgeon's once said that Atlantis sank into the ocean just so as no Mexicans could ever swim up on it and take Atlantean jobs. Ever since they started celebrating Black History Month in 1976, Buck Cudgeons would spend all of January fattening up on pork and beans and buttermilk waffles so he could hibernate all through the month of February. But Cudgeons never learned how to do no kind of math at all. Because he said if he ever learned what the fuck happened when 2 and 2 got plussed, then that would just mean that the Asians won. So let's all go on and say goodbye to the IRL of a sumbitch who didn't even own not one t-shirt or pair of sneakers in the color black, yellow, red, or brown. But Cudgeons. A more incredibly racist legacy there won't never be.
Very good. That was reorganization, which brings us to our next. Y'all having a good time? Y'all having a good time? This next segment called Topical Haiku Challenge. People on stage, please have written 3 haiku in regard to the following topical story. A woman in Vietnam is generating controversy after stuffing chili peppers into the vagina of her husband's mistress. This happened last week. Haiku go. Robert Berry, your first of 3 haiku.
Ow, 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 ow. Ow, 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 ow. My pussy's on fire.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Very good. Cheryl, your first of 3.
Okay. This was actually, they asked the woman for a statement because they said that a lot of people felt that she had been exceedingly cruel to the mistress and not to the husband. And so she got a lot of, pushback about how she behaved. And her response was, for real, I cannot please all. There are people who hate me. But life is like that.
Oh, my God. It was already a haiku.
That's gangster, yeah.
She haikued. Wow. I just got chills.
Wow.
Very good. Wow.
It's a Jesse found haiku.
A found haiku. Jesse Jones, let's hear your first of 3 haiku.
My first is titled 5 Alarm Cooch. Vietnamese food, Spicy, sure. But have you tried eating their pussies?
Jesus. Between that haiku and your last thing, feeling really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay.
Robert Barry, your
second.
I'm going
to turn into that skit. It'll be fun.
Book curtains. Robert Barry, your second of three haiku.
Hey, chef, this is wrong. Not that type of stuffed pepper. Stick to the menu.
Very good. Very good, Robert. Cheryl.
All right, this is for those concerned that the husband's not going to get his. On the Scoville scale, she got a jalapeno. He'll get ghost pepper.
Very good. Jesse Jones.
My second is titled Takeout Box. Revenge is a dish best served cold and on a plate, not a vagina.
Very good. Robert Barry, your third of three haikus.
Twan, please be careful. You should wash hands carefully after you finger.
Cheryl.
Cayennes in coochies. That's right, peppers in pussies. My favorite things.
Very good.
Wow.
Very good.
Nice.
Jesse Jones.
Titled Spice Things Up. Talk about rubbing salt in the wound. Or, you know, peppers in the gash.
Very good. That was the topical haiku challenge. One more time for your haikuers. Yes. Very good. Very good. That brings us to our next segment called Erotic Letters to the Editor. Please have written an erotic letter to the editors of the following publications. Robert Barry, Clean Eating Magazine.
Clean Eating Magazine. Dear Clean Eating Magazine, I never thought I would be writing you this. I'm a very reserved guy, but the other day I went to a comedy club, and there was this really funny comedian on stage named Robert Barry, and I found myself deeply aroused. With each joke, I became harder and harder than I thought I could ever become. And the jokes he would tell would just bring me closer to climax as I would grab my throbbing member, my throbby, stringy veined member in my hand. Why, one of the jokes was so funny. He said that he was working on a TV show for Animal Planet where he gets cute dead animals. That are dead, and he said the show was called Autopsy.
Oh.
And then I ejaculated on my face. And then he mentioned he had a joke book for sale for just $10, and I came twice. And anyway, talk about clean eating. My girlfriend shaves. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
But you said we had 24 to 72 hours to prepare.
Yes.
But it was 2 to 4 hours.
It was 24 hours.
Yeah, okay.
Very sad. Thank you. Cheryl Anderson, the name of the magazine you're writing an erotic letter to is Canadian Living Magazine.
Yes. And if something happens to me, like on the way home tonight, this explains my internet search history. I was researching for penthouse letters for this, strictly. Okay. I recently moved down south to the States, and let me tell you, things are different down there. I tried to start my morning out like any other, but my double-double from Timmy's, that's Tim Hortons for those of you in the U.S., but I had to settle for Dunkin' Donuts. Clocked in at my new job at Domino's and already had a delivery. Large extra cheese with back bacon. Just can't get used to calling it Canadian bacon. I got to the house and the most beautiful woman answered the door. She was wearing only a silky sheer robe. Oh, sorry, I said. This is your pizza, eh? Oh, no, don't be sorry. I was just about to get in the tub, she said, imitating my accent. I can never reach my back, she sighed. Well, I would like to help you, I offered, as long as we both agree that this is a mutually consensual agreement and we treat each other politely and with the utmost respect. Oh, yes, I welcome the help, she said. And it would also be fine with me if you bend me over like Justin Trudeau in yoga class, eh? Could this be the Canadian fetish I've heard so much about? A maple leaf chaser? If it was, she was really getting into it. Now, I'd hate to offend any of you with any more lurid details. Just let me say, she seemed very satisfied with her delivery, as her cries could be heard throughout the house. Oh, 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 Canada.
Very good. Cheryl the soccer mom. Jesse Jones, the name of the magazine you have written, or should have written, I'm hoping. Letter two is Birds and Blooms.
Yeah.
Birds and Blooms.
To the editorial office of Birds and Blooms, 16010 North 2nd Street, Suite 102, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53212. I can't begin to thank you all enough for this month's crotch-wateringly sexy issue of Birds and Blooms. I could go on and on about how your advice in your Birding Hotspots article, which read, any birder would tell you that there's fun to be had spotting birds outside your yard, gave me just the encouragement I needed to travel to a nearby park and the exhilarating thrill I experienced bird watching in public, out where anyone could see me vigorously bird watching. Or how your photo spread on the great horned owl really sent my own purple helmeted pecker all a flutter. But it was your DIY hummingbird tutorial that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. Probably a couple times a day if I can stand it. Using your easy-to-follow instructions, I was able to take an ordinary tin can and a plastic milk jug and make a hummingbird feeder that all the little birdies flock to. And here's a little modification that I made that you can feel free to pass on to your readers. If you just cut the other side of the can off, too, you can make your very own hummingbird glory feeder. And feel the ecstasy of 70 beats per second.
Very good. That was... what was that? What was the name? Erotic Letter to the Editor. Very good. That brings us to our last segment of the first show. Aww. Thank you, Mike. Called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Please have composed dating profiles from the following people or things. Robert Barry, please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a Motel 6 housekeeper.
Hi, I'm Benny Jackson. I'm 48 years old, and I don't understand this internet thing very well, but I hope you'll give me a chance. I don't know what swipe left, swipe right, any of that means, but I hope you'll swipe my heart with your love. I'll clean your place. I'm really good at typical household chores, whether it's washing bloodstains off a mattress, or throwing away 40 used condoms. I'm good at all of those things, and you know, times have been pretty hard for me since my son died. It wasn't my fault, despite what you may have read. Yeah, I mean, you know, I may work at Motel 6, but I'm a La Quinta 4. To be fair. And yeah, also no uglies. Thank you.
Very good, Robert Berry. Robert Berry, dating profile from perspective of Motel 6. Cheryl Anderson, please have written a dating profile from the perspective of the state of Minnesota, you're from.
I am. Hi, I'm Minnesota. Oh, so you're looking for a good time, are you? Well, then please consider Minnesota. I like long walks at the lake, and since I've got more shoreline than California, Florida, and Hawaii combined, those walks will be easy as pie. Speaking of pie, we can get some walleye and lefse, or maybe a hot dish and a grain belt. And oh yeah, oofta, I've had some bad eggs here lately, what with the news from Lake Wobegon and the Senate and all, but that's behind us, and you'll be darn sure to have a good time with me, don't you know? I also like to go to the Mall of America. You can come with. There's a roller coaster in there, you know. You can purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka and then dance the night away at First Avenue, if that's the kind of thing you like. Maybe play a little Duck, Duck, Gray Duck. Just be sure to bring your boots and a warm coat, and then we'll go up north and do a little fishing. It's not too bad. You might like it. It's okay if you don't. I won't hold it against you. So if you want to live out your Fargo fantasy, well, don't you know you came to the right place then? You betcha.
Very good, the state of Minnesota. Jesse Jones, please have composed a dating profile from the perspective of that bitch Nadine.
Yeah. Got to try not to do the same voice as Cheryl. Because I'm pretty sure it was going to be close. Okay. Username, Natty and Nice 88. Last online yesterday, 9:42 p.m. Height 5'6", body type curvy, smokes, never drinks one or two. Myself summary. Well, hi there. I'm a recently divorced mother of 7 wonderful boys and 9 beautiful little girls, all adopted from at-risk homes and war-torn nations suffering civil unrest. Looking to get back out there and find the Lightning McQueen to my whichever character Bonnie Hunt's car was. What I'm doing with my life. Helping those less fortunate than myself through whatever means the good Lord allows me to. Learning to forgive those who have wronged me. And grow with every new experience. I like to think when one door closes, it's just God's way of saying, you just make yourself at home now, Nadine. I'm really good at guessing which case that Howie Mandel hid all the big monies in. Remembering my county's non-emergency fire and police phone numbers. And taking life's little bumps in the road and treating them like my own little roller coaster of learning. Favorite books, movies, shows, music, and food. Just about anything in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Cars and Cars 3. I just didn't get number 2. Wayne Brady's Let's Make a Deal. And I just love a good snack-sized box of yogurt-dipped sun-made raisins. 6 things I could never do without. My 16 beautiful adopted children. Diagnosis, murder reruns. My photo album full of pictures of all of the neighborhood cats. My crimping iron. scallop potatoes and tulip season. On a typical Friday night, I am either working on my Muppet Baby's needlepoint, washing another load of sweatpants, or buying gently used coloring books on eBay to deliver to all of the local pediatrician's offices nearest my duplex. You should message me if you giggle a little to yourself every time you hear the word bushel. You love looking at the years on the change you get back from every purchase and trying to guess what the most popular movie soundtrack of that year was? Or you're aching to spend 8 to 10 years really fighting someone's well-meaning attempt to change you for the better.
Very good. That was Stab. One more time for your Stab contestants. Robert Barry.
Thank you.
Cheryl Anderson. And Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear any more Stabs, you can go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com, stab4gold.com. You go to Instagram, and we're there, or YouTube. We have some stuff up there, too, or SoundCloud, or Stitcher, whatever you want to do. All right, we'll be right back.